Good evening. This is the Prime Evening News for today, Tuesday, July 25. I am Kimberly Benjamin. In the headlines, ECCB Governor Timothy Antoine says legislation on the ECCU payment system needs to be modernized. Impact Justice Legislation Committees meet in Guyana, and CTE found in 99% of studied brains from deceased NFL players. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. The details of these and more stories coming up.
Stove broke down? At Courts, we've got one for you. Or how about a bigger TV to binge watch your favorite show? Family game night is more fun with one of the sets we've got. Or take your home fitness to the next level and find the perfect mattress to help you rest better. At Courts, we've got it all. Courts, bringing value home.
ECCB Governor Mr. Timothy Antoine says legislation relating to the payment system needs to be modernized. Speaking at the ECCU Monetary Council press conference, Antoine said a modernization of the system is required to allow e-commerce to occur. He says at present, the ECCB does not have the infrastructure for e-commerce. However, revisions of regulations are ongoing in the central bank, and the bank is also collaborating with the World Bank to build the legal framework to address a modernization of the payment system.
We are looking at the payment system legislation in the ECCU. Under law, the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank is responsible for oversight of the payment system. What really is required now is a modernization of the system to allow e-commerce to take place both ways. Not just us buying from Amazon, but them being able to buy from Dominica or any country, the thing. The truth of the matter is that we do not have all of the infrastructure in place yet. And the law needs to be modernized, including recognizing digital payments. Because you would be surprised to see the law right now basically refers to paper money. And digital payments and electronic payments are not recognized. So that has to be changed. So there will be some revision to regulations. As we speak in the central bank, we've commissioned a review of our payment system. We got the first report. And we are collaborating with the World Bank to modernize our payment system legal framework, which would address the concern.
Lifeline Ministries Dominica has announced the launch of its first magazine production, Book of Stories, Journeying from Victim to Survivor. According to a release, the 24-page magazine, funded by the Canada Fund for Local Initiatives, details the experiences of survivors of abuse. The stories are said to be accompanied by photos, most of which were selected by their survivors. Edited by journalist Gwen Evelyn, the magazine was the brainchild of Lifeline Ministries director Tina Alexander. We decided to produce a book of stories to encourage victims to talk about their experiences so that readers who are secret victims can know that others have gone through similar ordeals and survived. Disclosure is the first step in the healing journey, Alexander said. She remarked on the amazing response to Leve Dominique's public portal on Facebook, launched during the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence last November. The Facebook page was used by hundreds of survivors to relate the experiences of abuse. Alexander noted that many who shared their stories transitioned to seeing themselves as survivors and advocates rather than victims as a result of the opportunity provided by Leve Dominique. Through public demonstration, advocacy, training, and group therapy such as Pieced Together, we are aiming to collaborate with the other members of the NGO Coalition for Protection of Children and to see many broken lives mended, she added. She says, so far, the response to the magazine has been tremendous, and Canada Fund has expressed its satisfaction with the project. The magazine is free and is available from the Lifeline Ministries office at 3 Monroe Street, Goodwill. Tourism Minister Robert Tong says his ministry is making significant strides to improve air access to Dominica. While the government says it is committed to the construction of an international airport in the near future, Tong says this project will take time to be completed. In the meantime, he says, access to the island has to be significantly improved. Tong says they have already begun discussions with various airlines to take advantage of international flights servicing Guadeloupe and St. Lucia.
So Norwegian Airlines provides amazing rates to travel to Guadeloupe and Martinique. So So what we've realized is that they have fantastic rates. Obviously, somebody is subsidizing those flights. So what we're going to do is to capitalize on that connection. So we are going to be working. We actually begin the discussions with Air Antilles so that when that flight comes to Guadeloupe Martinique, as opposed to having to overnight and still take the ferry, you have the option of taking a flight and coming in the same day. Again, improving access and making it easy to come to Dominica, again, so that more visitors can come to Dominica. We also have challenges coming from Barbados sometimes, and even St. Lucia. St. Lucia has an airport called Heronor. It's an international airport. That airport has as many international flights as Barbados. So we are working with TIA 2000. It's a new airline, again, so that you have another option to come to Dominica. So as opposed to just one option, we're trying to give you multiple options. One of the other things the Prime Minister is pushing us to do, again, is to try and have a weekly flight direct from the USA to Dominica. So we are in discussions with many of the big airlines, again, to try and make it easier, not just for you as Dominicans to come to Dominica, but also for the visitors. My mandate and my focus is on tourism. So the more persons we can get to Dominica, easier and faster, hopefully it'll improve the number of people coming to Dominica.
The Dominica Association of Industry and Commerce, DAIC, has elected a new board of directors to serve for the 2017-2018 year. Mrs. Kira Thompson-Ed, president-elect 2016, has been re-elected to serve for another term as president. The 2017-2018 DAIC board of directors are Mrs. Kira Thompson-Ed, president, Mr. Stephen Lander, vice president, Mr. Earl Edwards, treasurer, Mrs. Ender Henry, assistant treasurer, Mr. Kenny Green, public relations officer, Mr. Jeffrey Baptist, immediate past president, and Mr. Elude Williams, Ms. Kimona George, Mrs. Natalie Sampson, Mr. Dave Stamp, Mrs. Nikima Roye John Baptist, and Mr. Damien Sorrendo, directors. New chairman of the ECCB Monetary Council, Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett, urges all to be responsible when referring to the challenge of de-risking in the Caribbean. The chairman says this challenge is not only faced in the Caribbean but worldwide. However, the impact on the Caribbean is greater due to small economies in the region that depend on the U.S. dollar for foreign transactions. He says no one country can counteract the challenge of de-risking on its own. Therefore, bad publicity will only hinder the progress of the economies within the region.
There's this myth that de-risking is only affecting the Caribbean region. This is a global challenge. Within the developed world, the banks are exercising that action.
Sure.
And for us, it is being felt much stronger because we are small economies and we have to rely exclusively for our foreign transactions on the US dollar. So it is not a matter that is unique to us in the Caribbean region. This is a global threat. And there are discussions taking place in various regions on how we can counteract and how we can seek to get a better understanding of it and put an end to it. But it's a major challenge, and this is why we are saying that we need to, all of us need to join forces, because no one country can counteract the challenge by itself. So I really want us to be very responsible in the way we speak about this matter publicly, in the way we broadcast and we publish matters relating to this issue, because it has the potential of really bringing our economies to a halt.
And a Citra certification coordinator, Joseph Blandford, acknowledges that although there were a few setbacks that delayed the opening of the season from opening on June 19, 2017, citrus plants distribution season has officially commenced with a few citrus plants available for purchase. Distribution officially began on Monday, June 24, and the varieties currently available are pink grapefruit, limes, tangerines, mandarins, lemons, and sweet oranges. Blandford said other other varieties will be available as the year progresses, as it is a continuous process until the close of the season, which is just around the onset of the dry season. He is advising commercial farmers to check with their extension officers to ensure that all necessary paperwork is in order so as to indicate the farmer's preparedness for the plants. Farmers who are unsure as to what plants to get should discuss with their extension officers, who will advise them accordingly. Commercial farmers should also be in possession of a valid produce seller's license. Backyard farmers, however, are not required to check with extension officers as they are purchasing only a couple of plants. Plants are available at $10 for commercial farmers and $15 for backyard farmers. In other news, the Canadian government-funded Improved Access to Justice in the Caribbean Impact Justice Project will host meetings for its Business Names Legislation and Legal Profession Legislation Committees on July 26, 27, and 28 in Guyana. These meetings will be officially opened with a formal opening reception on Wednesday, July 26. At the opening, remarks will be delivered by Basil Williams, Attorney General of Guyana, and Jean Scheltinger, Counselor, Development Corporation. High Commissioner of Canada will deliver remarks on behalf of Pierre Giroux, High Commissioner of Canada to Guyana and Suriname. Professor Velma Newton, Regional Projects Director of the Impact Justice Project, will chair the opening ceremony and will also give a report on the progress of the project. And chronic traumatic encephalopathy, known as CTE, was found in 99% of deceased NFL players' brains that were donated to scientific research, according to a study published Tuesday in the medical journal JAMA. The neurodegenerative brain disease can be found in individuals who have been exposed to repeated head trauma. The disease is pathologically marked by a buildup of abnormal tau protein in the brain that can disable neural pathways and lead to a variety of clinical symptoms. These include memory loss, confusion, impaired judgment, aggression, depression, anxiety, impulse. It can only be formally diagnosed with an autopsy, and most cases, although not all, have been seen in either veterans or people who played contact sports, particularly American football, control issues, and sometimes suicidal behavior. And that's the Prime Evening News, but first a recap of our headlines. ECCB Governor Timothy Antwine says legislation on the ECCU payment system needs to be modernized. Impact Justice Legislation Committees meet in Guyana, and a CTE found in 99% of studied brains from deceased NFL players. The news is brought to you through the very kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited. On behalf of the entire news team, I'm Kimberly Benjamin.